In Jesus' name we come, and come boldly and thankfully. And Father, thank you for such a wondrous Savior. Lord, thank you that the plan of God is to know Him and to know His love and to know Him in the fellowship of His suffering, in the power of His resurrection. Lord, thank you that you're this God that is so intimate and open. And Lord, you're for us. You adore us. And Lord, you favor us. God, thank you. And Lord, we're growing into that time that we're beginning to say, Thy love is better than life. Thy love is better than life. Lord, thank you for that. Thank you that we're coming round and soon coming up. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Yeah, words just fail us. Amen. That's okay. He's given us the Spirit. Just break off into that wonderful language and it's just such a comfort sometimes. Praise God. All the time, actually. Turn on over to Galatians chapter 5. Lord, He got a sweet encouragement for us today. I'll tell you what, it's a chastening. But I'll tell you, every time He chastens us, He's dealing with us as sons. And that's a sweet encouragement. Praise God. Endure it. Amen, sons? Endure that chastening. Endure the hardness as good soldiers. Amen, good soldiers. Praise His name. But in Galatians chapter 5, verses 6 and 7, Paul says to this church in Galatia, in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision. So nothing of your outward appearance, nothing of what you could do, whether it's circumcision or uncircumcision, you cannot do anything. You're not capable of bringing anything or performing anything that is favorable to God. Bring me the lamb. Praise God. When I see the blood, that's what He desires. Praise God. So in Christ, isn't that wonderful? Neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision. But faith. And we're in Christ. We're the sons of the living God. We're in Christ. So what availeth and what profits is faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Thank you, Jesus. Not works of my flesh, but faith. Simple, beautiful faith. Now, but faith which worketh by love. And I think you already hit on that this morning. That was sermon number 2. And I wasn't even thinking about it, but he was. And that's always what counts. Praise God. But faith which worketh by love. You want more faith? Pray for more love. You'll never believe him until you receive his love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So you have to realize that love to receive him as Savior. He loved you. It wasn't anything you did. You just asked. He died for you because he loved you. And everything comes from that same love. Every bit of growth, every bit of encouragement, every bit of maturity, every bit of you taking this word of God and not here, but in your heart. It all comes from recognizing the love of Jesus Christ. Recognizing the historical fact that there is a man named Jesus who came to die. Whether it was Josephus or whether it was other historians, there was a man named Jesus who claimed he was the Son of God. All of those great religions that were even out and about at that time. How come we didn't establish time by Confucius or Buddha or all of these other ones? Because there's only one that incorporates all time. He is I am that I am. Don't fight it. It's so evident. It's the only one, the only name that bothers people so much that don't believe in him. They still take it in vain. they can't help but call out on his name, whether it's in love or in hate. And that's why someday every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that he is Lord. See, this Bible and the prophets spoke of the coming of his birth. Think of that. That's the Torah. Spoke of the coming of his birth. Spoke of that wonderful lamb that would come. Another great religion. As we know today, there's the Jewish religion. And in there and in the word of God that is there, speaks so clearly in those prophets, Isaiah, that he was coming. And Jesus Christ was born. That child, that prophecy, all of that, he came. And he was born. Historical fact. But historical fact doesn't get it as your Savior. Do you believe that I am the Son of God? The Lord's had me to take this time right now. There's a life out here right now that has not accepted Christ as Savior. In Jesus' name, just call out. Jesus, I take you. I take you as my Savior. In Christ there is neither circumcision that availeth anything nor uncircumcision. Amen. But faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. I want you to think about that. The Apostle Paul. If he told you he ran well, that was quite a compliment, wasn't it? Not because it came from a man, but it came from a man that truly knew mercy and grace in the word of God. And he had complimented these ones. And he had told them in a way, shape, or form, you know that you ran well. He was encouraging them at one time, whether it was through other brothers or whatever it was. And he was excited with them and telling them, oh, thank you, Lord. You're receiving the things of God. It's marvelous. But here is time later, after they receive this marvelous truth. Because that's the only gospel that Paul could speak of was the gospel of the bride of the Lamb. Amen. That wonderful gospel of grace. Praise God. But he comes to this later time and he says, you know, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? I think those are probably some of the saddest words in the entire word of God. Ye ran well. Oh my. What happened? They turned from grace. They turned away from the grace of God. They turned from grace and went after legality. Paul tells them, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Think of where Christianity has turned so quickly, time and time again, and time and time again. We need to be growing in grace. Amen. And in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Not growing in, well, let's examine one another and see what our flesh can do. How good a great works can you evidently do? And he says it right as we began today. In Christ, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision profits anything. There is nothing that we can do of our own being, our work, anything that would ever availeth anything with God. Zero. And here we are, by the grace of God, accepting Jesus as our Savior. And in that moment, we have been placed in Christ. We're in the body of Christ. Hallelujah. That's, you're born again. And that is a wonderful thing. Ye must be born again. That wondrous blood. Hallelujah. Born of God. Children of God. Sons of God. In Christ. And he tells us sweetly, purely, completely, there's nothing you can do in your flesh. Amen. Instead of loving that mercy, because that's mercy, that the very God of very God sent his Son to die for you when you are dead in your trespasses and sin. Me too. That's mercy. And instead of praising him for that mercy and that grace, these ones began to turn to want their flesh to be magnified. Shame. But for the grace of God, we go there right there too. They ran well, but they quit in grace. Joab, Saul, they started off well. They really did. Joab and Saul. I'm talking about King Saul. Wonderful start. But they made a shipwreck of their faith. They made a shipwreck of that faith. And I'll tell you what, I know this from experience. And I did feel the Lord encouraged my heart to share this with you. As a young man, and I thank God, he encouraged me. And I was just a teenager about working with little guys. And I went in to work with the 4- and 5-year-old class. And I was just an assistant teacher. And I had a head teacher. And I know that she had been very used of the Lord to encourage different ones and be helpful in the things of God. But that woman turned cold. And she was judgmental, condemning. And it didn't end. And I'm sad to say, she never left that. And today, even though at one time she ran well, she's completely consumed in defeat. Later on, I was in my early 20s, the Lord encouraged my heart to work with young people. And I was thankful to God there were such sweet things to be encouraged of in the young people's classes, but this was the evening class, and Paul and I were excited about it. Had such wonderful time and encouragement with them. But there was a couple that came up and said, "Well, we just don't like the way you're teaching. We know we could do it better." And so and so. Well, it wasn't anybody's decision but God's. And God took me out of it. That couple only grew worse in their legality and their condemnation. And there they are today, buried in defeat, still in cold bitterness today. Finally, I'll say, there was one that ran well that was a minister in this place. That encouraged my heart that I'd go to the Bible study and listen every Sunday morning. The Lord used him to bring forth the Word of God, and I would tell him how it encouraged me, expressed to him about an encouragement that God used for that. Time and time again, I would tell him that as the Lord would do it, not just to flatter him, but sincerity of what was transforming in my life. I would tell that person that I loved him. Not one time did I ever receive a response, nor an "I love you." That cold heart continued on and grew to a time that still yet today it's there. Not that I'm any judge of anything, but I can just speak of the evidence that there's scarcely any light of all of the love of Christ that shines forth. Now, brothers and sisters, I do not ever want that said about any one of us. Amen. Ever. I never want anyone to ever speak of us in the past. I don't want to have any one of us as those that, "Yeah, Jesse ran well." I don't want to be one of those that's mentioned in Revelation of that wonderful church of Ephesus. All those marvelous things that the Lord did in your life, but yet I have one thing against you. You left your first love. Think of the time that we're in, saints. Think of this hour. Think of this age of grace that the Lord has so favored us to be born at this time, in this age. That there is this high calling of God in Christ Jesus. High, oh how high. It's the embrace of the bridegroom calling. The word witnessed to us. Paul wrote of it because it was made known unto him. I'm going to tell you now why those prophets wrote those things. Sure, they were marvelous stories. Sure, they were events that were marvelous to show the faithfulness of the God of Israel. But there was more. They were writing those things for us. There were hidden mysteries all throughout there. And the Lord took that Pharisee of the Pharisee, the one that was going to kill and stop the mouths of Christians. And God said, oh, that's my man. That's the one I'm going to sit down and I'm going to reveal all this to. And then he's going to come back and he's going to preach the gospel of the glory of my grace. Now, this really struck me. You know, sometimes we can really get down on ourselves. We can. We can get down on ourselves seeing someone so amazing in the Lord. Ones that come into the truth and they take off like a rocket. But I'm here to tell you something. There's one thing that matters, and that's how you finish. I'm going to tell you without a doubt. It's how you finish that counts. And I was thankful. I'm quite a sport guy, like a lot of ones in here are. We have some sport girls in here too. But we got a Super Bowl today, don't we? And I was thinking of that Super Bowl. And, you know, specifically, the Lord kind of had my heart going thinking of these quarterbacks that have, you know, throughout. I always am thankful to look at these amazing athletes and different things that God's enabled man to do and different things. But I was specifically thinking of these quarterbacks that have been drafted first in the NFL. So in college, you know, they're playing, and then there's these ones that actually are the very first pick. And it's very interesting, the first pick quarterbacks that ever really came out of college and all that, you know, almost without exception, they all turned out to be a dud. You talk about an amazing flash in the pan. Now, I don't want to embarrass them, fellas. I could go listing names. But those that follow it, you know who I'm talking about. Those that was my favorite team, you really know what I'm talking about. But very few of them even won one Super Bowl. Then you got the guys that were passed over. You know, the ones that I'm sure a lot of people said, either you're not playing the right position, you're actually playing the wrong game. You know, you throw the ball wrong, you're not bright enough, you know, all that kind of thing. But it's interesting, those are the ones that never gave up, and those are the ones that became the really true champions, and those are the ones I'm just telling you, they're the Hall of Famers. And I'll list a few of those, and those that might know, but this kind of surprising, you know, like a Brett Favre. He was in the second round and the 33rd pick. Joe Montana, the third round, the 82nd pick. All right, and I know I'm going to get some sighs here. Tom Brady, the sixth round, the 199th pick. And finally, Roger Staubach, the 10th round. I didn't even know there was a 10th round. That's like the round after like a couple weeks. Do we have any more strays? I mean, that's when you just, I mean, everybody got injured round. I don't know. And all I just smiled and I said, Lord, truly the last shall be first. Now, beautiful Timothy's in the Word of God. They get discouraged. Paul had to come to him. And you think about Timothy, because, I mean, he was even touted, you know, going back and really reading about that. He was touted by those disciples and the other apostles that they wanted Paul to meet him. So he took off. But yet later on, even after Paul had sent him to these places and said, you know, he's a father in the faith, Paul had to go back to him later on and encourage Timothy because he got down. Yes. A guy that Paul truly esteemed in the truth. Love that brother. But you know what? You're still a man. And then you take ones like David. Oh my, how sweet and mighty, but how huge are the mistakes. And yeah, we've all heard that, well, that was a costly choice, son. But those are the ones, by the grace of God, that come through that fire more precious than gold. And truly, the glory that never could have been without them things. Without them things. And then, let's even go to the very, very end. God's faithfulness proves that he is faithful to the very end. And you know who he proved that in? He proved that in Samson. You think about the life of Samson. That was a powerful, precious brother. He loved the Lord. He loved what the Lord did in his life. And the knowledge of the Lord in his life, it was sweet. He wasn't just a strong man. He was strong in the Lord. And he loved the Lord's anointing in his life. But worldly lusts, they distracted him. Yeah. And those worldly lusts seemed to completely defeat him. The heathen were so upon him that they even blinded him. And everybody wrote Samson off. But God. God didn't write him off. And you know what? Samson knew that God didn't write him off. Samson knew that he was God's man. You say, well, how do you know that? Because Samson called on God. And he said, strengthen me. He said, strengthen me. And in a moment, God immediately restored upon him that glory. Yes. In a moment, think of this. God prepared the perfect place. In a moment, God prepared the perfect place for Samson to win God's best. After everybody said, no way, everybody forgot about him. Man, that was a really neat time. He was a real powerful one in the Lord. He's done. Brothers and sisters, Samson in that moment finished mightier than all of his prior life combined. Do you know that? All of those enemies he destroyed all his life, from that jawbone's ass to all the things that he did, running with the gate and everything like that, in one moment of time, he destroyed more. There was more power done in his life through the Lord than all of those events combined. He's listed in Hebrews chapter 11. See, that's the Hall of Fame that really counts. It's not in Canton, Ohio. It's in Hebrews chapter 11. And in that wonderful chapter, not only is Samson found there as the worthies of faith, or those full overcomers of the Old Testament, the ones that received that crown, he's listed in the same verse and even in the same sentence with David and Samuel. Huh? But Samuel's that little guy, and he just stayed in it all the time and all of this. And I guess he was that first round draft choice that won. But then there was that guy in the, 1042 draft, whatever, Samson. He's the guy that had all that talent and wasted it. You know those ones that say, oh, well, he drank his life away, or drugged his life away, or just threw it all away. I don't like to see that in anybody, but I'm going to tell you something. If one of them athletes maybe might even hear this someday, the one trophy that counts can still be yours. The one that will never be taken away. The one that will never tarnish. The crown, praise God, that will never be cast. Now, Now, in finishing this, a lot of things in our lives, we can all say they didn't have to be. But the one thing I'll tell you, the Lord is still there to finish the good work that He's begun. If this doesn't prove it to you, come on. Come on. Really, come on. Get excited. Be thankful. Samson's failures, your failures, you know what? They don't surprise God. God doesn't sit there and go, wow, what happened? That's a mess. That would be awful. We don't surprise, we may surprise us, but we don't surprise Him. He knew what He was dealing with the very moment that He called Samson. He knew what He was dealing with the very moment that He called you. Amen. He knew Samson's downfalling, but I'm going to tell you one thing He knew and was just waiting for. But He knew Samson would be a full overcomer. Honey, I'm already, you know, this word is done, it's finished. I'm already writing you in Hebrews chapter 11. Sitting there in that cell blinded. And I know it discouraged at times. Oh, son. I know it's the foreknowledge of God. This word, here I am. I am that I am. Huh? You think that became a quickening in that man's life, Samson, as he sat there? Oh, my goodness. Praise the Lord. And I'll tell you what, he knew what he was dealing with. He gave him that strength, praise God. He knew his downfall, and he knew that he would be a full overcomer. And praise be to God, what's been given to us in Paul's gospel is so much more. He didn't lead us out in this life to just, well, leave you there. No. Your life is leading one place. I'm going to perform the good work which I've begun. Do you really, I mean, really believe that? I mean, that's Romans 8, 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. We're back to that love we started with, that faith which worketh by love. I want the full purpose of His will working in me, and I know what that comes through. Faith, which worketh by love. Now, you may be here today, and you may be at a point in your life where you're discarding this, maybe taking it for granted. But I'll tell you what, if your heart is hearing this today, if your heart is hearing this today, let this be the day to take back that treasure. To take it up, praise God. Lay your hands on the crown. Lay Him on the crown. Call out to Him. Say, strengthen me. Put my hands on them pillars, Lord. And you know what He does every single time? Every single time. He brings back the glory and gives you more. Doesn't He, brother? Doesn't He, brother? Doesn't He, everybody? And I thank the Lord today. All He's been waiting for you to do is ask. Devil just wants you to keep you from asking. Just sit there and don't ask Him. Don't say a word. Strengthen me. Can you call out on the Lord today? Say, strengthen me. Amen. And He's assured you, He'll not only restore the glory, He'll give you more. Let's pray. Father, we thank You. We rejoice, Lord God, in Your Son. Lord, we thank You, Jesus, that You're chasing us. And God, that we don't let an eye slumber. We don't have folded hands. But Lord, we know that there are fiery trials that are going to come. And you said, honey, don't count them strange. Don't think those things strange. I perform the good work which I've begun in you. Always. That's who I am. I abide faithful. And Lord, I thank you as we come today and we fellowship and rejoice in this truth. Lord, that love wherewith we are loved, let it increase our faith. Lord, don't let a life go out of here today without calling out to you, because we all need it. Strengthen me. Lord, as brother prayed as we started today, break up the fallow ground. I lift my hands to the Lord and I say, strengthen me. Oh God, restore the glory. And you always give more. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name.